Welcome back, guys, to Midnight in the Mountains. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm okay. Getting ready for a winter storm that we're supposedly supposed to be getting.
Now, that makes me a little jealous, as we have not even had snow here one time this year. I do find it quite amusing, you know, the difference between your weather and mine, because today it's supposed to be 78 degrees here and super windy and a little rainy, but you get a snowstorm out of it. I guess that's what 1,000 miles does.
Yeah, I know. How it's kind of crazy how that works, but yeah.
Well, maybe you could send me a little bit of your snow just so I can see it one time for the year.
That's what I said to my friend that's up in Maine. He was complaining that he was getting a snowstorm this weekend. I'm like, I'll take your snow if I could. He's like, I know you would.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just one day of snow. That's all, you know, a couple inches. I'm not asking for much.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, have you been up to anything? How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty quiet for the most part. Just kind of hanging out around the house, playing with my Frenchie, and just kind of a nice quiet weekend. This week, I don't really have a whole lot of plans. Usually, like, the springtime for me is kind of a quiet time. I don't really have a lot of plans up until, you know, like, maybe about the mid part of April, beginning of May, and that really starts the summer season, you know, where everybody wants to go out and do things, do a lot of canoeing and kayaking, and really not much going on. Football's over with, and it's a little too cold to go outside and be outside, and there's just not much to do in the springtime.
All right, well, anyways, I guess we should get into it. You picked a very interesting topic this week. I haven't heard anybody else discuss this, at least not any of the podcasts that I actually listen to, and I listen to a lot.
And I'm super interested in this. Like, this was one of those topics where it was kind of like just popped in my head, like, what's the oldest ghost story that we know of?
Yeah, I never even really thought about that. I've always liked old ghost stories, but I never was like, oh, what's the first one and what was that about?
My first thought, when it first popped in my head, the very first ghost story that I could think of would have been from the Bible and the story of Jesus. You know, he rose from the dead and went back to heaven. And to me, that constitutes a ghost story. But then when I got to looking at it, there are older ghost stories than that.
Right. So you can start first, because the story that I have is definitely not as old as what you have.
So when I was going back and looking for the oldest ghost stories, the first thing I thought of was the Bible. And that one was, you know, the Bible's 2,000 years old. I found one with a mention of a witch. And so that would have been 2,000 years ago. But then I got to looking even earlier than that. And I found the oldest one I found was actually 4,000 years old. It was written in 2900 BC, which is, you know, a long time ago. And the more I got looking into it, the more I found. And there is actually a rich history of ghost stories and exorcisms and how to deal with ghosts from, you know, early Mesopotamia. There's some from India, China, Mesoamerica, which would be like North and South America. There's all kinds of stories. But for this podcast, I tried to just pick some of the oldest ones that we could find. And I got some things to add to the show notes that people can take a look at if they're more interested in the actual stories. They can go through and read them. I just kind of wanted to point out some of the early ones for people that maybe have never heard of that before. So the first one that I'm going to go through is, in most of my research, the same name kept popping up over and over and over again. His name is Irving Finkel, and he's a curator in the London Museum's Middle Eastern department, and he's author of the book The First Ghost, The Most Ancient of Legacies. When you go through there, he has a ton of videos, he's written quite a few books, and almost all of it's on the ancient history of ghosts. And I found that super interesting. And his research, which I'm going to not steal, but I'm going to use his research, because the first recorded use of a word to describe a spirit that is separate from and survives the human body is from a tablet dated to the early 3rd millennium BC, which would be about 4,000 years ago. It was inscribed with the cuneiform character for the Sumerian word for ghost, cuneiform character called a giddim, which is spelled G-I-D-I-M. And that would be the earliest form. And it came from a tablet. We'll put a link to the tablet in the show notes so you guys can check it out. Mr. Finkel has just this huge body of work. And I just want to point out a couple pieces of his work that, you know, he puts in there that there's a rich tradition of ghost busting emerged in response to the many troubles caused by ghosts in ancient Mesopotamia. Those who could afford it turned to scholars known as Aspu, whose accepted English translation of exorcist doesn't quite capture their professional domain. Usually men, though there are sporadic references to women exorcists, for instance in the Malakew series Incantations Against Witchcraft. These scholars spent years mastering medical knowledge and treatment, including what we might call magical remedies. He goes on to say that some ghosts formed an intense connection with their victims, requiring the exorcist to create a substitute companion. Around 10 lines of the cuneiform survive on one side of a broken clay tablet from the 4th century BC. They were written by a Babylonian scribe called Marduk Apala-Iddin as part of the manual describing on how to get rid of ghosts so persistent it resisted other methods of exorcism. The reverse of the tablet appears to be blank, but under the right light, the outlines of two figures appear. It is incredibly rare to find drawing on tablets from ancient Mesopotamia. Only a handful have been discovered so far. In this image, a man with a long beard holds his shackled hands in front of him, attached to a rope. On the right, a woman in a smock holds the other end of the rope. The instructions tell us that she has been created as a companion to entice the obstinate ghost into the underworld. Mr. Finkel reckons that the figure on the left is the oldest drawing of a ghost in the history of the world. Now, that to me is amazing that we found a clay tablet from 4,000 years ago that is showing how the ancients used to deal with the ghosts that they had to, that they saw or they experienced. And they even had a plan on what to do with it. That they had, you know, incantations. They had, you know, they would make a companion, which is sometimes could be something simpler as a doll, something just a lead that goes back to the what they thought was the underworld. I mean, that, how amazing is that, that we have ghost stories from that far ago that we know about?
I don't know, it's just wild. With any situation, when you talk about stories that go that far back, it's so hard for my brain to just even grasp the concept that it was that long ago. And then, I don't know, it's really neat. When you were doing research, did you come across, actually, it might have been on one of the links that you sent me, did you come across that drawing of the depiction where there's these two people trying to, like, get a hold of this black devil-looking figure where he has, like, it almost looks like a ponytail on top of his head. He just looks like this dark, demonic, scary-looking creature.
I don't think I saw that one. So, and in the notes for the show, we will put some links to Irving Finkel's, a couple of his videos that I watched that are super interesting. We will put a picture of the tablet. I got two different pictures. One of them is the front half, and the front half is kind of interesting in of the fact, and I just kind of want to read this. When you look at it, it just looks like pictures. But what it actually says is, when they translate it, it says, "You will see the ghost. He will speak with you. You can look at the ghost. He will talk with you." And the incantations are designed to enable a man to see and question a ghost for the purpose of learning the future. A spell is recited over a specially prepared mixture, and this is applied as an ointment to the eyes. The subsequent passage gives magical procedures to protect the necromancer from the dangers involved in trafficking with the dead. And how cool is that? And it goes on to say with the tablet, and this is a comment from the curator of the British Museum, it says that necromancy is only rarely referred to in cuneiform sources. This tablet is in the Babylonian script and was clearly brought from southern Mesopotamia to fill a gap at the Royal Library at Neva. So, yes, I think this is probably the oldest one we're going to find. Although you could also tie into the cave paintings, the show we did a couple weeks ago. that, you know, some of those show some pretty spooky things as well. And some of those paintings are even older than this tablet itself. When I was doing my research, or when I was going through all these links and whatnot, there is so much other information that we could talk about. I mean, you could talk about the rituals they did, or the people that did it, how they went about it. It's funny to see all the ancient cultures all have a different version of their underworld, whereas some of them thought it was idyllic place with, you know, lots of grain and grasses. Other ones thought that it was a quote-unquote hellhole where the dead burned, or it was a very gray place that, you know, nothing really was going on. It's very interesting to see all the different versions of the underworld in ancient times. Some civilizations thought that it was an idyllic place with like golden fields of grain and there was plenty to eat, plenty to drink. Other ones would be more of a kind of a Christian version of hell where people are burning. It's a very bad place to be. And even other ones were just, it was just a gray space that's where the ghosts hang out. So it's super interesting that ghosts are such a universal story in almost every civilization. It doesn't matter if you go to India, China, South America, the Middle East. Every civilization has their own version of ghost stories. So Mr. Finkel, like I said, he's the one that compiled most of these stories. But I do want to mention a couple of other ones that would be early ghost stories that are actually written now instead of on a cuneiform tablet. The oldest written one I found was called the Epic of Gilgamesh. It's one of the oldest works of literature that human civilization has created, and it's over 4,000 years old, and it prominently features the idea of ghosts, spirits, and an afterlife. So that's probably the oldest one, written one.
Let me stop you for a second. That is the picture that I was talking about. Now, did you see a picture of that? I sent you on your phone the link, and it'll show you the picture of it. It's very creepy.
Oh, yes. That is super creepy. Yeah, no, I didn't actually see that link. That's perfect.
I'm surprised that you found that story and they didn't have a picture of it.
Yeah, it was just mentioned in kind of in passing, and I didn't pull up the link on it, but yeah, no, that looks like a devil, actually.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a very dark, evil entity.
So we have that one, old ghost story, devils. The next one that I found after that, and this one is actually written before the Bible as well. This one was Homer's Odyssey, where spirits of the dead appear in literature as early as Homer's Odyssey, which features a journey to the underworld and the hero encountering the ghost of the dead, which I think a lot of people have heard of Homer's Odyssey. I don't think I've actually read it, but when you think about it, the Odyssey is the story of Hercules, if I'm remembering correctly. And, you know, he does journey to the underworld and he does talk to ghosts. So that would be another ghost story. Of course, we have the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there is a story of the Witch of Endor, and he calls to the spirit of the prophet Samuel. So that's another ghost story there. And then another older one that I found, and this one is actually after the Bible, Pliny the Elder, who was a Roman author, historian. He wrote a lot of older things as well, but he describes the haunting of a house in Athens by a ghost bound in chains, which is an archetype which would become familiar in later literature. The ghost in chains, first thing I think of is Charles Dickens, the Ghost of Christmas Past. He was bound up in chains. And I'm sure there's a lot of other stories with ghosts in chains that may harken back to Pliny. You know, he was the one that originally wrote about it.
I don't know if you came across this thought, but this is something really neat that is kind of different from what we think of a ghost today. So I'm going to read this real quick. It's off of this one website, and of course I will put the link in the show notes. But it says that people throughout the world have told ghost stories from the ancient Mediterranean to Mesopotamia, China, and Egypt. In Mesopotamia, ghost stories have been discovered as far back as 5,000 years ago, according to the Mesopotamians. When a person's physical body died, it created what was known as a, and I don't really know how to pronounce this, but Giddim, I think, maybe? An imprint or image of the person at the time of their death, which retained their memories and personality in ghost form. In mythology of the afterlife, people believe that the soul of the dead would travel to the underworld, or Irkalla, I-R-K-A-L-L-A, an inescapable place where spirits would dwell for eternity. However, in some cases, it was even thought that spirits, or Gidim, would escape and infiltrate the mortal world. Mesopotamians believed that Gidim who dwelled in the mortal realm did so because they had not received a proper burial. They assumed these spirits could not find peace, so instead they would haunt family and friends.
It's so interesting to hear that particular story, because that seems like it's almost, you could read that in today's world. You know, we bury our dead, and if they're not properly buried, sometimes we think they're ghost stories. And it's so interesting to hear the history behind some of our traditions go back 4,000, 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, and it's kind of neat because I've never heard of it, but I mean, I've never heard of it put in the words like it's creating this alternate presence rather than just, because now we just say like your soul is still hanging around. It's kind of worded in a different way, if you knew what I'm trying to say. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
No, yeah. I think it's, you know, what they thought of a soul per se.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been transformed just a little bit into like quote unquote modern day thinking.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. I don't know if I'm not trying to like step all over your part of of your history, but I thought that was a little interesting note there.
No, not at all. It is. Like I said, there's so much information that we couldn't cover it all today, even if we wanted to try. I mean, there's
Now
there's a ton of information out there, and I hope everybody will just, you know, kind of read some of these. The Epic Gilgamesh, Homer's Odyssey. Homer's Odyssey is a very famous work of art, and it's a fun story. I think that's what I have for my portion of this episode. And I know Laura has another story that she wants to read and how it ties into all this.
So I'm glad that you did some of the backstory, because I did not get into that. What I did was went on the Googs and I typed in just oldest ghost story to be like super basic. And what I came up with was I saw it was the first recorded ghost story in Maine. So I found the story of Nellie Butler, and there's this town in Maine that it happened in, and I couldn't pronounce it. So I texted my friend Nomar Slavik, who lives in Maine, and imagine me not being able to pronounce some kind of weird name. I feel like that's what this whole podcast is. It's like every time we do something. Anyways, so I'll get into the story. It's the ghost story of Nellie Butler, and it's believed that she is supposed to be the first documented ghost story in the United States, which I find a little crazy because it's only in 1799, which I would have thought there would have been something way more earlier than that.
I would agree.
So, yeah, it doesn't that seem awfully late?
It does, because it's... When you say that, the first thing that comes to my mind are like the Salem witch trials. And that was way earlier in 1799. I don't know the exact dates on those off the top of my head, but
I think it's 1693. Is that right? I'm a little dyslexic when it comes to numbers, honestly, so I could have had that swapped, but I think that's what it is. Anyways, so the first recorded ghost story. So, I mean, obviously there could have been others, but this is the one that's supposed to be the first documented one. And it's the ghost story of Nellie Butler. She was married to Captain George Butler, and she had died giving birth to their first child. Abner Blostell lived in Machiasport, Maine, and I'm probably butchering that a little bit, but anyways, so on August 9th, 1799, he heard the first knocking noises in his house. And on January 2nd, 1800, Abner and his daughter Lydia experienced more paranormal activity. And they heard a voice calling from their basement, "I'm the dead wife of Captain George Butler, born Nellie Hooper." and she requested her father, David Hooper, be brought to her. And he supposedly lived 5 miles away from Abner, so Abner sent for him. And Mr. Hooper, being skeptical of this, he arrived to the house and they all went down to the basement. And he is quoted as saying, "She gave such clear and irresistible tokens of her being the spirit of my own daughter as gave me no less satisfaction than admiration and delight." So after he left later on that day, Abner's son, Paul, was walking home through the fields when Nellie appeared to him visually for the very first time that she's ever appeared to the family. And he got so spooked out that he ran the rest of the way home. And then later on that night, it said that Nellie scolded him for not speaking to her. And by February, people were visiting the household to observe Nellie. And it was said that about at least 100 people have seen her by this time. She would appear in a few different forms, a glowing white light or a shaped bodied apparition, but always appeared to be floating. And it said that she would kind of appear as like a smaller glowing white light and then kind of transform into a like a little girl figure and then kind of look like she was changing into a full adult figure. And then it would kind of end with her going back into a glowing light and then disappearing. But people came to this house and they thought that Abner and his family were hoaxing the whole entire thing. So Abner's like, "Fine, I'm going to leave my house and you guys can stay here and you can see that there's no tomfoolery going on here." And he would, and Nellie would still come out and they would see her. And a local reverend named Abraham Cummings came to the house to visit. And he was very skeptical of Nellie. He didn't believe in her. But he ended up seeing her. And his mind was completely changed and he believed in it. And he ended up writing a pamphlet after seeing Nellie. And he titled it, "Immortality Proved by the Testimony of Sense." And he was trying to align his sightings with scriptures from the Bible. And then also with the story. The story says that Nellie came to her husband and told him that he should remarry Abner's daughter, Lydia. She told him to be kind to her and that she would pass away after giving birth to their future child. George did end up marrying Lydia, and she did indeed pass away after giving birth to their first child. And Nellie appeared only a few more times after this, and one of the last times she was seen by Reverend Cummings, and then finally by her former husband, George. And supposedly, Nellie visited him one night in his bedroom, and she was very angry with him and upset with him that he did remarry because he had told her that he would never remarry again, which I don't really understand why that's the case if she came to him and told him that he should marry Lydia. Then another thing is, too, why would he marry her and then have children with Lydia if they knew that she was going to die when having a child? I would have taken that warning and not had a kid.
Well, yeah, no kidding, right? What was the date on that one again?
So the very first time that Abner had reported hearing the knockings was August 9th. 1799, and then by January 2nd of the new year in 1800, Abner and his daughter started to experience the paranormal activity and heard Nellie's voice calling from the basement. I also forgot to mention that Abner had asked Nellie why she would only appear in the basement, because that one time she did appear to his son out in the field and scared the absolute crap out of him. And she told Abner that she only stuck to the basement because she did not want to scare any more children.
That's a pretty interesting story. It really is. You said that was the first ghost story that was recorded in America.
Yeah.
That's interesting. It surprises me a little bit that there's not anything earlier than that.
I agree.
But at the same point, you know, That time in American history was fairly busy. to be fair. You know, the whole 1700s, we were declaring independence and, you know, there's lots of other things going on. So maybe people saw them there before that, but they weren't really recorded per se.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely think there had to have been more ghost stories before that, but it just wasn't really documented for whatever that reason was.
Yeah, because you would think, like, you know, even during the Revolutionary War, which would have been, what, 1776? So that would have been, what, 20 years before, 25 years before? You know, usually wars kind of bring on the people seeing strange things during times of conflict and whatnot.
Yeah, all that negative energy out there.
But no, that's a super interesting story.
Yeah, so when I had texted my friend Nomar up in Maine, who I mentioned before is the one who always helps me with audio, I sent him the link of Nellie Butler so he could see why I was asking him to pronounce this town name. And he's like, oh, I wrote about that. I was like, oh, really? I was like, is that the book that I have? Because I do have one of his books. And he's like, yeah, I think it's in there. So I found the section where he briefly talks about this, and I was like, this is so cool to have, you know, I mean, I do know a handful of people that have written paranormal books, and it's just really cool to me that I can be like, hey, that's my friend, and then read their book on the podcast. So this book is called Otherworldly Encounters, Evidence of UFO Sightings and Abductions. I'm going to read this, and it's titled Abraham's Encounter. The first paranormal investigator in the United States could very well be Reverend Abram Cummings. He was a skeptic with an inquisitive mind. He was well educated, having received a master's degree from Brown University. In 1826, he first published his book entitled Immortality Proved by the Testimony of Sense, in which is contemplated the doctrine of specters and the existence of a particular specter addressed to the candor of this enlightened age. It tells the tale of Nellie Butler, a poor woman who tragically passed away in a small town of Savilian, Maine, but continued to be seen by hundreds of townspeople for years after her death. Starting in 1799, Nellie communicated, it was said, with multiple groups of people at the same time, almost begging for belief in her afterlife. Abraham Cummings shared reports that she promised nearly 50 people to convince them of her being such as professed to be. He spoke with numerous witnesses during this investigation, some of whom they would see Nellie in personal form, roaming the fields, roads, and pathways. Others reported hearing her disembodied voice or witnessing a mere mass of light. And that's the end of that section. It goes on to talk about Reverend Cummings a little more, which is pretty interesting. And but that's the end of the part on Nellie. And I do remember seeing when I was looking this up that there is still a copy of his little book or pamphlet that he wrote in Brown University. So that's pretty neat that still exists.
That is very cool. Yeah, that'd be really neat to go see.
So yeah, I encourage anybody to, Nomar has several books, and I definitely just want to plug him again because he is such a great friend and he's just so kind, and I just really, he's a really good person. So check out his books. I'm going to drop his links again. Check out his podcast because it's really good.
Sweet. I'll have to check that out for sure. So I think we've learned some things today. We learned that, ghost stories are a staple of modern civilization and even ancient civilization. There are plenty of works of ghost stories. No matter where you look, I think you'll always find a ghost story somewhere. And I think we may have to explore this topic a little bit more, because I would kind of like to do the, you know, like some of the ghost busting traditions or something down the way. Like, I think that'd be a fun topic to kind of to look into.
And it's funny you say that, because that's exactly what I was thinking when I had read about how in Nomar's book, where it says that Abraham the Reverend was possibly one of the first paranormal investigators. I was really thinking that it would be interesting to go back to kind of the first investigators. And I do know, you know, there's, I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy that basically invented the first spirit box. So that would be a really interesting topic to cover.
For sure. I like that idea. But yeah, once again, I think hopefully that everybody's learned a little something today, you know, whether it be old literature or an old ghost story from America. Yeah, great podcast, as always.
Yeah, it's fun. I like to learn all these new things.
Yeah, same here, you know, and it's funny to find how much information we have on, you know, ancient literature. And you could even say, you know, the 1800s, that was still 223 years ago.
And I still don't understand. There's all these skeptics that say they don't believe in ghosts. I don't know how you can possibly even be that closed-minded to think that way, because throughout history, I mean, what, everybody's making this stuff up? No.
I think that I think you're onto something there, where there, unfortunately, there are a lot of closed-minded people that, you know, unless you can just shove a ghost in their face, they're never going to believe you.
And even then, they might, you know, try to come up with excuses too. So,
yep, yeah, no, I mean, it's kind of sad that there are so many closed-minded people, because there are a lot of unexplained things in the world. There are a lot of, you know, just because somebody 4,000 years ago saw something, that doesn't mean they didn't see it. It just means there's more to know.
Well, thanks for joining me again, and we'll wrap this up. You guys can email us, midnight_inthemountains@yahoo.com. Find us on Instagram, midnight_inthemountains. And yeah, we're still looking for, if you guys want to come on the show and just kind of shoot the shit with us and tell us your ghost story, or even email it in.
Yeah, I would love to have a viewer come on and that we could talk to and have a third voice. I think that'd be a lot of fun one time.
Yeah, even so, I would like to eventually have, like we did in the past, get enough emails to make that into a show where we read listener encounters. Because that's, to me, that's what I'm most interested in, is listening to just the average person give their experience, because there's nothing to gain. You know what I mean? There's no fame, there's no money, there's no nothing to gain by coming on and sharing your ghost story.
Very true. I like that idea. Yeah, maybe we can set that up for sure.
Yeah. Alrighty, guys. So we will talk to you later.
Everybody have a good rest of the week.